A little word came to my mind this morning. I want to preach on that tonight. I want to give it to you in the Bible study tonight. But I want to share with you the meaning of a little three-letter word tonight. You can find this word. I counted it. I looked it up today. And you can find it 165 times throughout the Word of God. 165 times you'll find this one little three-letter word, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And I thought that I would just want to share this with you tonight. And I want to speak to you this evening on a little simple word called joy. Joy. J-O-Y. Joy. And you know, not everybody knows what joy is. If you're lost and in the world, man, they're looking for joy and they're looking for it everywhere. They just don't know where to find it. But I'm going to tell you tonight, joy is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where joy comes from. The world will define that word joy, and Webster defined it as this: a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And most of us know it to be that limitless, life-defining transformation that Christ gives to us when we accept Him as our own personal Savior. He gives a joy that is unspeakable. And you know, I'm thankful for that tonight. And you know, that joy that God gives, it requires something. It requires surrender. We have to surrender to God to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. In order for us to have that joy, and it's like love. Joy is like love. Love is a choice, okay? I choose to love my wife, whether she bakes a good cake or she burns the beans. I choose to love her, amen? And it's the same thing with her. She chooses to love me because I'm adorable and she just loves me. She makes the right choice. And I'm thankful for that tonight. But listen, love and joy is a choice. And folks, the joy that the Lord Jesus gives us is like no other joy that the world can give. And I thought tonight, as we study on this word, I want to share with you a message about true joy. The true joy that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give to those who receive Him as their own personal Savior. The true joy that you and I know tonight, that comes from God and God alone. It comes from Him. And I want to start the message tonight by looking at a man in the Scriptures who thought he knew what joy was all about. He thought he knew what it was all about, when in reality he had no idea what true joy truly was. He did not know what it was until he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and his world was literally turned upside down for Christ. I want to talk to you tonight about that man. And tonight, as I give you what the Lord laid on my heart this morning, I want to ask you to write some things down and take some notes on it tonight. This is a Wednesday evening Bible study. And so just write some little things in your Bible that may be a help to you. You may not find a lot of things that are a help to you, but I found a lot of things. God showed me some things that were a joy and a help to me tonight, and I hope it will be a help to you tonight too. So I want to speak to you tonight on the true joy that God wants each of us as His dear children to experience and to have and to know as a reality. So let's pray, and I want to begin tonight with a word of prayer, and then I'll have you turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 8, all right? Acts chapter number 8. Let's pray first of all. Father, I do thank You, Lord, for the opportunity that You've given me again tonight to stand before Your people and, Lord, to give unto them the blessed and holy Word of God. And I pray now, Lord, that tonight You will speak through me, Lord, the things that You would have me to say. Help me, Lord, to be a blessing to Your people and a strength and an encouragement to those that may be down tonight. Lord, I know the world today would just do everything within its power to destroy us and try to take away the joy that only You can give. But God, the world can't take that joy away. And I pray now, Lord, tonight You'll help us to see that great fact. Help us, Lord, to learn about this little three-letter word that could mean so much in our lives and could make such a difference in the life of every born-again child of God if only we will allow you to do it. So, Lord, take my lips and help me, Lord, to speak the words that are pleasant unto you and acceptable in your sight. And, Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. All right, I want you to look tonight. I want to begin the Bible study tonight by having you turn to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. We're going to begin in verse number 1 tonight. And I want to read you these words. Acts chapter 1, or Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. I want to read you these words. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Now we're talking about Stephen. Stephen was stoned by the people for preaching the word of God. They got convicted. Boy, they got under great conviction, but they did not want to accept the words that Stephen was preaching to them. So they rose up in anger and they stoned Stephen. You can read about that in Acts chapter 6 and 7. And Saul, this is Saul of Tarsus, Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many, taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Man, think about that. There was great joy in that city because of what God was doing in the lives of men and women, boys and girls. Now, if we go back to verses 1 through 3, I want you to notice here that the joy that Saul of Tarsus thought he had was in his Jewish traditions. Now, I want you to see this. Look at it. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. But look at this. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Now, I want you to notice something here in verse number 1. Acts chapter 8, verse number 1. I want you to notice here that Saul was consenting unto his death, referring to Stephen. And the Jews and the religious leaders had just stoned him for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we saw in our prayer listing tonight of a man in India who was preaching the word of God, and some group of people came into his church and began to beat them for converting Hindus to Christianity. Boy, you know what? I don't remember seeing that on the news anywhere, do you? I don't remember seeing that. But you know what? I believe it made news in heaven. And they took note of that in heaven. And I can imagine Stephen standing there in heaven saying, "Don't give up, folks. Just keep on preaching Jesus. Keep on preaching Jesus." But Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. And he was willing to go along with what the Jewish traditions were. Now, that word consenting means that Saul went along with what the other Jewish leaders had done with Stephen. They had drug him out of the city. They had dumped him there in that hole where they would stone the people and literally cover them with great stones and boulders. And he was in total agreement with putting Stephen to death for preaching about Jesus. Now, folks, you know, it's interesting to note, you can preach anything else you want to in this world, but if you preach Jesus, there will always be persecution. There will be persecution. And here, Saul was consenting unto his death. Can you imagine somebody being that wicked and that vile against the name of Christ? But then action of religious zeal was only the tip of the iceberg in Saul of Tarsus' life. And he would go on to be telling folks about the zeal that he had for the Lord God. And that zeal included persecuting Christians and placing havoc among all their churches. And if you'll look, I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts chapter number 22 tonight. Acts chapter 22. And I want you to see something here tonight. We're going to begin reading here in verse number 3. And I want you to hear this man, now known as the Apostle Paul. I want you to hear how he recounts his religious life before he got saved. I want you to hear how he explains about his zeal for God to the people that he's standing before. And here in Acts chapter number 22, we're going to begin reading here in verse number 3. Paul now stands before the high priest and those who want to stone him for preaching the gospel. And he says to them, beginning right here in verse number 3, and going down through verse 5, he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. And I was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. In other words, Paul was saying, listen, the way you are now, I used to be the same way. Paul was blinded by his zeal, his religious zeal for God, even as these dear folks were blinded by their religious zeal. Those folks in India that attacked that church and that pastor and those members in that church, they were filled with religious zeal for what they believed. But Paul goes on to say, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. He said, I had the same zeal that you've got today for what you believe. I had papers in my hand to go and take those folks that were already bound and to bring them back to Jerusalem to be punished and put to death. That's what zeal Saul of Tarsus had. Now turn over just a couple more chapters to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter number 26. And as Paul adds to the story where Jesus found him before he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior, I want us to look here at verses 9, 10, and 11, where Paul now stands before Festus and King Agrippa, and he bears testimony of what his life was like before he got saved. Now, again, religious but lost. A zeal, but he didn't know what he was actually doing. But look at what he said. Now remember what he just told the people a few chapters back here in Acts chapter 22. I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to go right into Acts chapter 26. I'm verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up into this city at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day? And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Now, Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 11. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Wow. That was his testimony. Can you imagine? You know, religion, even as the Apostle Paul explains here, mere religion is totally contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. Every religion that you see in our world today is basically contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the relationship that one with the Lord God one has with the Lord God through Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, Paul was zealous of his Jewish roots. He was zealous of his vain, religious, man-made traditions. He was zealous about all that. He thought he knew the joy of being zealous for God. He thought he knew the joy, or what he thought would bring joy in his life through his vain traditions of religious do-goodery. He thought it would make him feel good by putting these people to death and getting them out of the way of what he felt at that time was true religion, especially for the Jews. But boy, was he ever wrong. Amen? He was so wrong. Saul of Tarsus had the power and the permission from the religious leaders of his day to seek out and to destroy any and all people who walked in the way of Jesus Christ. And as he tells them here in Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 11, he said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Can you imagine the hundreds upon hundreds and probably thousands more? He gave his voice against them and had them put to death, all because of his religious zeal, all because of what he thought would bring him joy. And he said, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them, he forced them, he made them to blaspheme the name of the Lord. Think about that. He compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. But folks, I want you to understand something tonight. None of those things that he did, none of those things that he did in the light of mere religion and man-made traditions, none of those things ever brought him true joy or happiness in his life. And folks, I'm here tonight to tell you and to remind you, there is no joy in man-made religion. There's no joy in that. Oh, Saul thought he was doing great things. He thought he was going to do even more things contrary to the name of Jesus. But let me tell you this evening, what did bring joy to this man's life? Let me ask you, what did bring joy into this man's life? What brought joy in this man who had put many people to death? And he had caused them to be put in prison. He compelled them to blaspheme and all sorts of things. What brought him joy? Go with me in that same chapter, Acts chapter 26. And I want you to look at verses 12 through 23. And here in these verses, Paul tells them how that as he started down the road with his plans of what he felt like would bring joy to the Lord God of Israel, he found out that he was wrong. Now look at what it said. He stands before that crowd, and they were standing there listening to Paul. And he said, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus.'" Amen. Can you imagine hearing that? The very one that he had been persecuting, the very one that he had thought to do many things contrary to that name. And that voice speaks to him and he says, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And Paul said, he heard these words. He said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness." What kind of darkness? Darkness of man's religions, darkness of man's traditions, darkness of man's thinking. I want you to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." My goodness, what a message, amen? What a purpose God gave unto this reprobate mind of a man called Saul of Tarsus. Saul thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. But boy, on that day on the road to Damascus, he found out that he was very wrong. And he found out the true purpose that God had for his life. And he took that zeal for the vain things of this world, and he turned it into a zeal for the things of God. Amen? Isn't that great? God, only God can do that. And look at this. The Bible said, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." Listen to me. Folks, can I share this fact with you this evening? I want to share this simple fact. You'll never know the true joy of the Lord in mere religious traditions. You'll never know the joy of the Lord. You'll never know the joy of the Lord through religious works and deeds and acts of do-goodery, no matter how extreme those works or deeds may be. The world can never give you what the Lord Jesus Christ can give you. Amen? Amen. And many of you have turned from the old religious ways that you used to have, and you gave your life to Jesus. Amen? And He has given you a joy that surpasses anything that the world could ever give, a joy that goes beyond what any religion could give you. And on that day, on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus met the very one whom he had for so long been persecuting and mocking and killing off the messengers whom this God had sent to tell others about the gospel. And you know what? They had true joy. And when they expressed true joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, he already confessed up there that it just made him madder and madder and madder to see the joy that they had even when they were put to death. Boy, they got mad about it. They got upset about it. And on that day, now with his natural eyes blinded by that great light shown unto him from God above, from the very risen, alive, forevermore Son of God, Saul of Tarsus came to know Jesus Christ, not only as his own personal Savior, but as the one who would call him to be a messenger of the joy that had made him mad before, but now the joy that made him glad. Amen? The joy that he was able to share, the peace that he was able to tell folks about, both Jew and Gentile, he would now get to share that message with all those people. Man, what a blessing that must have been to his heart, that God would use him, who had been such a rascal, such a violent, wicked, vile man toward the cause of Christ. You know what that tells me tonight, folks? There's still hope for folks like our president and our congressman and all the other folks that's ruling over our land today that get so upset about the things that Christ has said do. And you know what? There's hope for them tonight. And you and I are that hope tonight. We can take that message to them. Will they like it? Probably not at first. But you know what? The same God that spoke to Saul of Tarsus' heart is the same God that can speak to their hearts tonight. Amen? That family member that makes fun of you every Christmas, that loved one that jokes at you celebrating a man rising up from the dead on the third day on Resurrection Sunday. How can a man do that? Oh, he was more than just a man. He's my Savior. Amen? He's the risen Lord. And folks, listen, all those folks can come to know Christ if you and I have the joy of the Lord living in us. Amen? We can do that. You may ask this evening, but preacher, how in the world could Paul ever be able to do what he did for the Lord? Don't you think he must have been terrified to do that? I would imagine he was probably afraid. He was probably scared. He was probably trembling. But you know what? He had a Savior that had promised him that he'd never leave him nor forsake him. Amen? And that Savior is the same Savior that you and I have tonight. Amen? The same sweet Holy Spirit that lived in the Apostle Paul lives in each of us tonight if we know Christ as our personal Savior. And He's the one that promised to be with him. You say, well, preacher, how do you know that? Look at verses 22 and 23. Paul stood there before the king. He stood there before Felix. He stood there before all those priests and those men of the temple that had tried to put him to death. and wanted to do away with him. He stood before those men that so hated everything he had to say. And the Bible said here, having therefore obtained help from God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. You see, Paul's help to share the joy of the Lord didn't come from his own power. It didn't come from his own strength. It didn't come from a religious denomination. It all came from God, his Savior. Amen? Amen. It came from God. And perhaps with tears flowing down his face. I thought about this afternoon as I was studying through this passage. And I can imagine in my mind, he's standing there with chains and fetters on him, bound probably to some big strong soldiers standing beside him. And he's standing there and he's given account of what he used to be like. And then he begins to tell them about the Savior who has been his strength from day to day, ever since that day on the road to Damascus. And I can see the tears flowing down his face as he tells them, I got my help from the God who saved me. I got the help that I need to continue to be found faithful and to have the joy of the Lord and to witness to both small and the great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And what did he tell them? He told them that Christ came for a purpose. Amen? Christ came to suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Amen? Isn't that great? You know, the psalmist David put it this way in Psalm chapter 121, verses 1 and 2. The psalmist David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Boy, you can't get anybody more powerful than that. Amen. You can't get anybody that loves you more than the God who created the heavens and the earth and who created the way for you and me to become his dear children. Amen. God did that. Oh, dear child of God. Listen, our help has to come from the Lord God. The sweet Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us as born again believers, he's the one that will give you the joy to be found faithful, even when people persecute you, even when you have heartaches and burdens and trials that you just don't think you can make it through. The Lord God is your strength and your help. The one who spoke and said, let there be, and made it all possible, is the same one that will say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. What a Savior tonight. Listen, that power is not in us. It comes from God. It's not in our strength. And you say, well, preacher, man, that's great, but that's what I want in my life. I want God's power. I want the joy that only God can give me when I'm facing the fiery trials and the persecutions of this life. Well, my friend, tonight, if that's really what you desire, then you must not only be truly born again and have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within your heart and your life, but you must be willing to allow the Lord God who saved you to place the joy of his word into your heart tonight and give you joy that's unspeakable so that you might be able to do the things that God has saved you to do. You've got to allow him to do it. That is a choice that the Lord God gives to each of us. You know what? When folks come and they see me sometimes and they say, preacher, how you doing today? I always try to tell them, saved by grace. Amen? Amen. Saved by grace. I remember when they brought me out of the room, out of the operating room with my heart a couple weeks ago. And I remember the nurse asked me, she said, how you feeling, preacher? I said, saved by grace. I didn't know if I was going to get to go see him or not. I didn't know. But you know what, man? No matter what happens in your life tonight, no matter how bad the day is, no matter how ugly you may be, men, it doesn't matter how much the creek has risen above the foundations of your house, you're still saved and you've got the joy of the Lord living within you. Recognize it. Allow God's joy to be evident in your life from day to day. Don't go around with a poochy lip disease. You know what the poochy lip is, don't you? You know, the poochy lip disease. Don't go around looking like that. Good grief. Somebody think you're a Democrat or something. Man, listen, don't do that. I'm just kidding you. I've seen some Republicans that are pretty poochy lip too. And you know what? If you don't know Jesus, you're going to have the poochy lip disease. But if you'll get Jesus in your heart and He makes the difference, you'll get the joy of the Lord. Listen, that's what it's all about. That's what made Saul of Tarsus so mad when he persecuted them and he threw them in prison. And they'd look up at him and say, "Preacher, I'm going to be praying for you." You know? And the preacher there that was being persecuted, he'd say, "Well, I'm praying for you too, that you'll stand strong." And I can hear old Saul of Tarsus now, "Shut that stuff up. Don't be talking like that." And he'd beat them or kick them or yell at them or cuss at them. And you know what? They'd just look and they'd say, "He just needs Jesus. He just needs Jesus." You know what, folks? That's what our world today needs. My friend, tonight, if you want the joy of the Lord in your heart, you've got to allow the Lord to show forth that joy in what you do. You got to recognize it as being real. You got to recognize it as being something that God wants you to have. That's evident in your life. The Apostle Paul had come to know the giver of that joy in his life. And he put it this way over in Philippians chapter 3. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 3 just a moment. Philippians chapter number 3, verses 4 through 10. I'm going to read this. He said, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." And folks, that's why we read back in the book of Acts chapter 8, where we first started. And we look at that chapter and verse, Acts chapter 8, verse 8. That's why there was great joy in that city. When Philip took the word of God, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, into those cities that no one had ever heard about the name of Christ, folks heard that God cared for their sinful souls. And they got saved. And they trusted the Lord Jesus as their own Savior. And folks, you and I can bear the same words of joy and comfort to the lost world around us today. We can bear that comfort. Now, I'm running out of time before I run out of things to say, so I'm going to skip down to something here a moment. But I want you to see here in this Acts chapter number 8, where we began in our Bible study tonight, I want you to see here that Saul was consenting under their death, under his death, Stephen's death. And there was great persecution against that church which was at Jerusalem. And because of the persecution, they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. But do you realize something tonight? I want you to see something tonight. I don't want you to leave here without seeing this. This was all in the plan of God. Amen. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Amen. Go back to Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. We're looking here at Acts chapter 8, verse 1, but I want you to look back at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And look what Jesus told them. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. Now that's where they had been. They had been preaching the gospel in Jerusalem, and now there was great persecution because people were getting saved everywhere they went. People were coming to know Christ. But God didn't want the story to just stay in Jerusalem. He said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and where? And in all Judea and in Samaria. And ultimately, look what he said, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Do you see that tonight? The persecution that God allowed them to go through brought them into fulfillment of God's great plan. Amen? Now you listen to me tonight. That means that when persecution comes your way, you don't quit. That means when persecution comes your way and people don't like what you're doing for God, you just keep on doing it. You stay faithful. Why? Because it's God's purpose and plan to get His message of the gospel to every place that we go. You say, well, preacher, I lost my job. I'm having to get a new job. You know what? God used you where you were, and now God's going to give you another place to go. Amen? And do the same thing. Preach the gospel. Amen? Preach the gospel. And now, as they proclaim the message of joy and of peace that only the gospel can give right here, right there in that city, God said, okay, we're done with you here. Now I need to get you somewhere else and do the same thing. And the Bible said they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. And look at verses 4 and 5 in Acts chapter 8. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went what? Doing what? Oh me, oh my, I'm going to quit. Oh, it's just terrible. No. They went everywhere, what? Preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. You know what God did? God got them out of their comfort zone. Amen? And he took them to where people needed to hear the message. And folks, that's what God is doing with us today. You know what? You may have persecutions. You may have trials and heartaches that come your way. But you know what? Don't look at it as a bad thing. Look at it as a good thing that God is moving you in areas where you can go and preach the gospel. And when that happens, look at verse number 8. And there was great joy in that city. Amen? Great joy in that city. Now let me look. My goodness, it's already my time to stop. And I don't have the last three things here I want to show you, but maybe another time, another place. So you come back again, okay? All right? Amen. But I want you to understand something tonight. There is no joy like what Jesus can give you in this world today. And folks, the world cannot give you what the world does not have. Can I say that again? The world cannot give you what the world does not have. But Jesus has it. Amen? And if He dwells in you, then you've got it too. Amen? And all you got to do is allow Him to bring forth that joy through persecution, through trials, through the heartaches that may come, through whatever comes our way in this life, allow God to turn your lemons into lemonade and share the joy of the gospel with those folks around you. Amen? Isn't that great? One little word called joy. Let me ask you, do you have it tonight? Do you have the joy of the Lord? Listen, we pray for revival. We're always praying for revival. God, send revival. But let me tell you something. If we don't have it in our own lives, how can we expect it in the lives of anybody else? Tonight, let's pray that God will give us revival. Amen? So that we can take the joy of the Lord everywhere that we go. Let's pray. Father, Lord, tonight, I'm thankful, God, for that little word, joy. Lord, you're the one that gives joy tonight. Lord, you're the one that gives the joy that's unspeakable and just abounding in our soul tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us to not just dwell on the bad things that come our way and the heartaches and the troubles that seem to get us down, but Lord, help us to remember what you did for us. The Apostle Paul remembered that. And he spoke of that when he stood before kings and queens and the great dignitaries that he stood before. He preached it everywhere he went of the joy that the Lord gave unto him. Help us, Lord, tonight to be joyful Christians in what we do and say. And Lord, help us to have a joy in our heart as we share the message of the gospel, especially about Resurrection Sunday, especially about the play that we're going to be showing that shows what you did for us. Lord, help us to be joyful about that story. And God, if there be anybody that's listening to the sound of my voice tonight that does not yet know you as their Savior, oh God, let them see your joy in my life tonight, in the lives of your people tonight, and let them want that joy. And we can be able to share the message of the gospel that gives that joy. Thank you, dear God, for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.